Hey, it's Monday night, and we've got Tara Strong with us. Woo! Boy, lots of cool stuff we're going to talk about with her, and more tech stuff later on. So stay tuned. We'll be right here with Tara Strong on VoiceOver Body Shop. Don't go away.
Two men, twin sons from different mothers, with a passion for voiceover recording technology and the desire to make recording easy for voice actors everywhere. Together in one place, George Whittam, the home studio engineer to the stars, a Virginia Tech grad with an unmatched knowledge of all the latest gear and technology in voiceover today. Dan Leonard, the home studio master, a voice actor with over 30 years experience in broadcasting and recording, and a no-holds-barred, myth-busting attitude for teaching you how easy it is. Together, to bring you all the latest technology, today's voiceover superstars, and leading the discussion on how to make the most of your voiceover business. This is VoiceOver Body Shop.
VoiceOver Body Shop is brought to you by VoiceOverEssentials.com, home of Harlan Hogan's signature products. Source Elements, remote connections made even easier. VO2GoGo.com, everything you need to be a successful voiceover artist. J. Michael Collins Demos, award-winning demo production. VoiceActorWebsites.com, where your voiceover website won't be a pain in the butt. And VoiceOver Extra, your daily resource for VO success.
And now, live from their super-secret multimedia studio in Sherman Oaks, California, here are George Whittam and Dan Leonard.
Good evening. I'm Dan Leonard. I'm a little lower.
And I'm George Whittam, and I'm a little taller.
And I'll stop that. And this is VoiceOver.
Body Shop.
Or V-O-B-S.
Much better. Yep.
All right. Well, tonight, we've got a big-time guest.
Yes, we do. Kicking off the year right.
We promise the top guests in the business, and we bring them here on VoiceOver Body Shop. Tara Strong is going to be with us tonight, and we're going to talk about all sorts of stuff with her.
She's really cool. Keeping busy.
She has. So let's introduce her by showing you the type of work she does.
Sorry, Sebastian.
It is expressly forbidden for you to be swimming
beyond the safety of the seawall. Any such swimming is a reckless disregard of the rules, don't you know?
Not now. He needs us. You weren't exactly honest with me either.
It wasn't like that. I volunteered.
It's okay, Gnark. There's only two of them. We'll take them easy.
Hold, Robin. We've got trouble.
Robin, I think they're expecting us. I think he was talking about finding the Doom Patrol.
Hi, Robbie Poo. Remember me?
Kid.
Oh, you do remember.
Say goodbye to your friend.
I'm 6 years old, and tap dancing is my favoriteest thing. Even if it's not good for my pacemaker.
A real genius, that one. I am the most powerful, and... one of the most powerful.
Let's welcome Tara Strong to VoiceOver Body Shop. Welcome.
Thank you.
Nice to see you again.
Nice to see you,
too. Been a few weeks. You're originally from Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
I'm from Buffalo.
Wow.
Yeah. So you had got the chance to watch Irv Weinstein say, where are your kids at 11 o'clock? But that's an inside Buffalo joke. How long you been out here in L.A.?
Since 94.
94. Mm-hmm. Okay. So what brought you out? You were with Second City? I mean, you had quite a career before you even came out here. Tell us a little bit about
yourself. Well, I knew that I wanted to be a singer, dancer, actress when I was about 4 or 5 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And my parents didn't really know much about the business when I was a kid, and I kept bugging them to get me an agent. I would do little school plays and stuff, and then I finally got an agent when I was 13, and I booked my first on-camera show, which was a show with Mr. T called TNT, and my first play, which was The Music Man, and my first animated role, which was Hello Kitty. Mm. And I did over 30 animated series in Toronto, as well as quite a bit of on-camera. I did Second City, and I did some musical theater and TV. I was on a sitcom for a while, and I always knew I wanted to come to California. But luckily, a lot of the American productions were filming there, so I wasn't just someone getting off the plane going, hey, yeah. I want to be an actress. Yeah. So
you're a grizzled veteran.
Yeah. And I just always knew I wanted to come and try. So I moved here in 94, and I didn't know that voiceover would be my primary thing. And I still do some on camera, and I have a lot of fun with that. But I've been very lucky because some people that don't have the voiceover stuff, that only have on camera, don't necessarily know where the next paycheck is coming from. And when you're in that very tight-knit group of voiceover stuff, it's like a nice, consistent career. So I feel very blessed. And also the roles I've played have been such iconic roles. I don't know, like, how many people get to say I played Batgirl and Harley and Raven and Timmy Turner and Bubbles. Like, it's like a horseshoe that I was born under. So I feel really lucky.
Luck favors the prepared, though.
That's true.
You worked really hard to get to that point. Mm-hmm. So
yeah. So you've been here since 94, and you've gotten all these iconic roles. You must, and right now you're like the busiest lady here in Hollywood when it comes to these things. I mean, is it like day after day after day, hour after hour, session after session, or?
Yeah, I average between 6 and 10 shows at a time.
Wow.
And then they're always scheduled on certain days. So for instance, today, Monday, I have 9 to 1 Ben 10 where I play Ben. And it's like a lot of me, except when he becomes different aliens and we have other amazing actors coming in. And then 2 to 6 is Unikitty, which is also me as the title role. So it's a long, long day for me. And then on the other days, I'm doing DC Superhero Girls. I'm doing some Harley stuff. Teen Titans Go is on Fridays. Like everything is like, you know, scheduled in throughout the week so that I can make it all work. And I'm also doing an on-camera movie with Carlos Alazraki this week. So
fun guy.
Yeah, he's awesome.
And by the way, we're taping this on a Monday.
Yeah.
So everything you just heard her say she did today, she did that today and then came on here and is still able to talk. That's pretty amazing.
I do that for you, George.
That's, I think we have to work that out. No, it's pretty amazing. I mean, your instrument, it's like a bodybuilder or something. It's like a marathon runner. You've obviously built up an unbelievable instrument. Yeah. Being able to have that kind of, you know, stamina.
Well, and you have to. I always tell people when they say, like, how do you break in? Take as many acting classes as you can, singing classes, scene study, improv. And it's all really important because it is. It's an instrument. It's a muscle, and you have to constantly keep using it. And, you know, improv helps you be able to create characters very quickly because often you're in the studio and they'll say, oh, can you just do this part or that part? And you don't want to be nervous. You want to be ready to just jump in. And singing lessons helps you learn your range and how to build power in different places. And all those little things go into your basket of tricks before you get into the studio because, like you said, you're prepared. And if you go in unprepared, you might not get a second chance.
Yeah.
And if you're nervous, you cannot show that you're nervous. You have to come off confident even if you're faking it. And so you have to really, really be ready. And I caution people like to give up their careers and say, I really want to try voiceover without being super, super ready is a mistake.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You were talking about improv. And we've talked to a lot of people on this show, and they all talk about doing improv. And some of them are better at it than others. What do you think? Why do you think that improv is so important, especially for voiceover?
Well, improv is a unique side of acting training, and you really learn about creating characters and writing little sketches for yourself, and you learn to think really quickly on your feet. And in fact, when I was studying improv both in Toronto and in LA, you'd find people from all walks of life. They're not just actors, people that wanted to be better at being, you know, bedside matter as a doctor or a bank teller or whatever it was to get their personalities up and be ready to respond to people. And so it's such a great learning place for building all kinds of characters. You get to experiment with your voice and see all these different, you know, voices that you can create and where they're from and how they laugh and what they do. And animation is so much a part of improvisation. There's so often that they'll say, can you throw a little line in here or change this or do that? And if you're ready and you know how to just sort of go without thinking and just do things on your feet, it's such an amazing preparation for doing voiceover.
Mm-hmm. So when you get cast to something, and apparently they say get Tara Strong an awful lot, how does that process work? I mean, your agent is pushing it for you, or they're like, no, we want Tara Strong. We know she can do this type of thing. How often, you know, you've got all these roles. Is it just like coming, you know, from nowhere? Or do you have to audition for them?
At my stage, it's both. You know, often I'll get roles offered to me because of my career. Sometimes I'll have to audition for a part I've already had, which is
that's
like,
the craziest thing. I hear
it's
that
It's so crazy. And it's like, I've done Harley 1,000 different ways. Y'all know that I can do it. Just, but, you know, the flip side of saying no is that maybe they'll get someone else. And even for Ben 10, for this version, I had to re-audition because it was new producers, new creative. And if you have an attitude about coming in again, you won't get it. So it's smart to just keep going in because, like I said, there's often new people in there. But for the most part, I still have to audition. I audition in my home studio that George helped me build pretty much every day. And, you know, you get an audition, you get a drawing of the character, you get a character description, you get sometimes a show Bible and sides, which is a portion of the script. And then you, as the voice actor, has to try to think of how the writers and the producers would want that character to sound, and then you play. And I like to do it myself because I've been doing it so long, and I like to make it really perfect. And I'll sit in my studio sometimes for hours editing, and sometimes you have to walk away from it and go, okay, that's good.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I really like making sure that I'm really happy with it before I send it off.
Do you get through a take pretty easily? Like, are you able to flow through something and say, it kind of works, or does at this point you can blast through a take and really
it depends. Sometimes I'm like, I love that first take.
Yeah.
And then sometimes I'll do like three in a row of each line and then listen back. And I thought, oh, I really like that third one. But then when I listen back, I'm like, oh, I really like the first one. Or sometimes the second goes better with the fourth take of that line or whatever.
So you
it
will
is.
Comp, you'll comp together.
Oh,
in audition?
All the time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
All
okay.
Our guest is Tara Strong. Maybe you recognize her, but you certainly recognize her voice. If you've got a question for it, throw it in our chat room and, maybe you can get the chance to ask a question of her yourself here on VoiceOver Body Shop. What's the most favorite role you've done? And you've done some great ones. I mean, Timmy Turner always is one of my favorites. Not that I watch cartoons all the time, but my kid who's over here watched them all. and it was always fun to listen to them without even watching them because it would be on in the back seat.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like you could tell the writing was good, you could tell the acting was fabulous, but what was your favorite? What do you
well,
think?
Well, I did have a ton of fun doing Fairly Odd Parents.
Sure
it was
did.
Such a great cast. And when there's a great cast, it becomes like a family, like you're doing a play or a sitcom or anything else. You really build a camaraderie with your actors and you learn how to play off each other. And most voice actors are really gracious and giving. And I love doing full cast records because if you hear an actor do a certain way, you may respond a different way. Like if someone says, "Let's get out of here," you might go, "Okay," you know, right. to sort of mock them or play off them.
Yeah, yeah.
So for in terms of like group records and having fun, I had so much fun doing Fairly Odd Parents, Teen Titans, Powerpuff Girls. We had so much fun. But I do always say the favorite role that I ever booked was The Mermaid 2, which you played.
Yeah.
In fact, I was just in my home in Toronto where I grew up, and I still have the poster on my wall from the original Little Mermaid movie. I was such a big fan. So to move here and then get to play her daughter,
whoa.
I met Jodie Benson and I burst into tears. She's like, "Are you okay?" I was like, "I've just loved you for so long." And then to sing in the studio with her was extraordinary.
Whoa.
I really could have died the next day.
Yeah.
It was a beautiful, beautiful thing.
Oh, that's freaking awesome.
Yeah.
What are you working on right now? I mean, today you're doing Ben 10 and these other ones, but you say you have like 10 different series going on at the same time?
Yeah, all the time.
Wow.
All
what,
the time.
What else are you working on that you can talk about?
Bravest Warriors. There's a new DC superhero girls show that Lauren Faust created, and I'm playing Harley and Batgirl and Raven and a whole bunch of other people, and sometimes we fight with ourselves all the time.
Oh! How does that go?
I mean, yeah.
Are you,
how do you do that?
Do you like to try to play two roles, like, literally back-to-back, or
it's
do you
weird. Like,
intercut?
Sometimes we do, and then sometimes we record one through and then record one through the next time.
Do you
it
ever
depends.
Get to make that decision?
How yeah.
it's going to be done?
Yeah.
As the actor,
yeah.
you can say, I'd
uh-huh.
like to do these
yeah.
back-to-back.
Right. Or sometimes they say it's easier for us to do different tracks.
Okay.
Like
yeah, yeah.
yeah. It kind of depends on the show. Like today I was doing Ben 10 with two other characters that were all in the same scene, and I just did them back-to-back, just
mm-hmm.
talking to myself.
So you're a busy lady,
mm-hmm.
And you got kids,
mm-hmm.
and you got dogs. And you've
and
got
bunnies.
And bunnies and
a husband
yeah.
all these fuzzy things.
He's the most work.
How do you mix it all together? I mean, if you're working like from when to when, I mean,
well, most voiceovers between 9 and 6 or 9 and 4, and it's been really a great career to have children because first of all, you work up till you deliver. I remember E.G. Daily went into labor during a Rugrats session. I was like, "Can you go to the hospital right now, please?" But you know, it doesn't matter what you look like in animation, so you really can just, you know, work. And then I used to bring my babies to the studio with a nanny, and I'd go in and work, and then come out and play with them. And now I'm usually done before they're home from school, so I get to be a mom after school, unless like right now I'm filming something for Carlos, it's been night shoots, but typically I'm home by bedtime and I get to really it's been such a blessing that I get to do it all, because I love being mom and being hands-on. I don't like missing anything. So
Again, if you got a question for Tara Strong, throw it in the chat room. We want you guys to be able to talk to her. That's why we bring her here. It's the most important thing.
We also have an audience who may actually like to ask questions. That's true. As well. We do have a microphone in the room for that.
So. Yeah, so we will get to that in just a couple of minutes. You've worked with all the top people. I mean, you know, Tom Kenny, and you know, and whenever we mention these people, we mention Tom Kenny, who we'd love to get on this show again. He's been on with us before, but we'd love to get him on here in LA. Who's your favorite people to work with?
Well, probably my
Don't disinclude anybody.
So no
pressure.
I will say, like, voiceover people are the kindest, sweetest, most giving. It's like when you do on camera, there's a lot of catty nonsense that you don't really get typically in voiceover. It's the nicest people, and they're so talented. Every single day, I'm blown away by something someone does. Just today in a session, Gray was whistling, like, for whatever reason, and she could, like, do these crazy singing, whistling things. I'm like, I did not know you could do that. So it's like every day I'm sort of surprised by something. My favorite to work with is Cree. She was actually on Hello Kitty with me when I was 13. And she was the bad cat, and I was Kitty. So we had so much fun together. And I love working with E.G. and Pam Siegel was probably the only person I've ever been separated from in a session because we would laugh too hard together.
You're like two, like, second grade girls. They moved to different classrooms.
They literally had to separate us. But I love Kevin Michael Richardson, and I love I couldn't, if you asked me to pick a favorite, it would be fair, it's like asking to pick your favorite kid.
You know,
it's like everyone's so great.
But not Roger Quicksmith.
I hate Roger. I had to see him today. Monday's really tough for me because he's in Benton and Unikitty. So I'm like,
oh my God.
And I was walking, going, like, in my contract to not have him in the booth with me. But they keep bringing
him
in.
Breath,
he's just a terrible person, terrible actor.
And he knows it.
You know what's funny is we have this running joke, right, at all sessions. And sometimes people online are like, is this feud real? But it's so much fun to tease him. And because I'm so used to it, I do it all the time now. Like, it's in my nature to just bash him when I see him. And I did it at, like, a new job where I'm on all the time, but he's not.
Oh.
And
they must have been like, what?
The producers are kind of looking at me like, oh my God, I'm totally kidding. Yeah, I love Roger. He's brilliant.
Yeah.
we figured that. Want to be able to work tomorrow morning. And that sort of things happen. Well, we're going to take a little break, and if you've got questions for, again, throw them in the chat room. We've got an audience here. We got lots of people here. This is, now we have a couch in here. There's lots of room for everybody to sit. So stay tuned. We'll be right back with Tara Strong here on Voice Over Body Shop.
Well, hello there. I bet you weren't expecting to hear some big-voiced announcer guy on your new orientation training for Snapchat, were you?
This is Virgin Radio.
Well, okay, we're not that innocent.
There's jeans for wearing and there's jeans for working. Dickies, because I ain't here to look pretty.
She's a champion of progressive values, a leader for California, and a voice for America.
It's smart. It's a phone. It's a smartphone. But it's so much more. It's a, the files are ready, don't forget to pick up the eggs. What time is hockey practice? Check out this song.
It's the end of the road for Rick.
It's just you and me, Rick.
When hope is lost.
The i8 from BMW. Who said saving the planet couldn't be stylish?
Hey, it's J. Michael Collins. Bet you think I'm going to try and sell you a demo now, huh? I think they speak for themselves. But I will give you my email. It's jmichael@jmcvoiceover.com. Now, if Dan will stop waxing this mustache for a minute.
All right, you guys have questions? And we're back here on VoiceOver Body Shop. Tara Strong is our guest, and we have an audience, and we're wondering if any of you guys have a question. It looks like Howie Hoffman has one there. Grab the microphone. You guys have come all this way.
I want these guys to.
Okay. All right. Jacob has a question here first.
Well, you guys have, I don't. I know Dylan.
Dylan, of course, has a question. Okay.
Hey, so you probably don't recognize what I'm holding here. It's a very obscure cartoon. It's not very well known.
No.
But
nobody likes that show.
No, nobody. But I just want to say, first off, I love your work.
Thank
you know,
you.
You have such an amazing amount of versatility, and you know, and the characters you've played are so endearing, and you always bring so much life to them. I do want to ask, in the case of My Little Pony, obviously, your you're one of the only American U.S. voice actors on that show, because like because you know, you've got dual citizenship, so you know, so I just want to ask, but you know, the rest is like Canadian Union actors, and I just want to ask, how do they make that work? How do you, like, do you record at a different time than they do, or like, or is it like, is it over Skype or something, or how does it go about?
Well, you know, the nice thing about voiceovers, you really can be anywhere, and you could, what they call, you know, kind of phone in and be on a session with them and phone patch in to hear everybody. For My Little Pony, I go back and forth to Vancouver sometimes to be with the cast, which I really love. We all love each other very much. But mostly I do record from LA, and I'm not with them on phone patch. So I don't get to hear what they do organically, which is, it's a little sad, but I know them so well, and I know kind of how they're going to read it. And also Twilight has like 100,000 lines an episode, so it would be really long sessions if we all were together all the time. So I'll typically go into a studio by myself, and then I phone patch to the directors in Vancouver, and I'll often bang out anywhere between 3 to 7 episodes at a time, just me by myself. So it can be draining, but it's such a sweet show.
Well, Lesson Zero was your masterpiece.
Yes, that's a big favorite for sure.
Yes.
I got a question for
George
you.
George has a question.
When did the Comic-Con thing become, dare I say, mandatory? Like, when did that become like something you knew you had to make time and space in your life for that kind of appearance thing? When did that start?
Well,
happening?
I've been going to Comic-Con in San Diego as long as I've been here. Like, it's something that
and
you
when
always
they started
do,
doing it, right. you stepped right. You know,
well,
you
I would
there.
Go, you know, Comic-Con in particular, you go on behalf of the studios. So you don't usually go to sign autographs and make money. You go to promote whatever shows you're working on. So, you know, and typically the studios take such great care of you when you go down. They get you a ride or a hotel or whatever, and you make an appearance at a panel and do some signings for them. And it's a very collaborative effort to promote the show. So I've been doing that for a long time. So all the other cons, and just so the audience knows, there is a con in a city somewhere every weekend of the year. So if you want to go to a con, you could probably find one to go to. And it started a little slower for me. Like, I didn't realize how big it was. So when I first started, I was going here and there. And then you realize how important it is to the fans to connect with them. And I love going so much and meeting them with them. I've had so many special memories meeting people who are so grateful for what we do. And like, I hear all the time, thank you for my childhood, or this show got me through my parents' divorce, or this show got me through a depression. And like, last year was one of the most emotional. I met this girl and she was dressed as Raven. They often cosplay as my characters. And she was talking and talking and talking. And I looked over and I see her mom like crying. And actually, people cry when they meet me a lot. And but this was like a different cry. So I went over to her and I'm like, are you okay? And she's like, my daughter is very autistic and she hasn't spoken in 5 years. And when she heard you were coming, she didn't stop talking. And I was like, oh, wow. Like, that's heavy, you know, to hear these people say that you mean so much to them. So I've started going more to connect with these fans, because you're nothing without your fans. And they're so wonderful. And it's like a really nice way to give back. And I make it a pretty fun weekend. My very best friend, Roxy, and I go, and she assists me at con. Because it's a weird thing about me. I've never cared for money. This is going to sound crazy. But when I was doing Rugrats, people were like, oh, you must have made so much money on Rugrats. I'm like, I don't really know. Like, the agent does this and this person does that. I don't know. What do you mean you don't know? And I grew up not having money. And I mean, I wasn't like at poverty line, but we were not a well-off family. And I always knew that I'd be successful and I'd be fine. So it's not something that I stress about. And when I go to cons, I don't like dealing with money. I give away so much free crap all the time, especially if there's a sick kid or someone doesn't have money. And, you know, this past year I was doing a lot of stuff for candidates and saying, if you promise to vote, I'll give you a free autograph. So she handles all the money. She handles all the people. And I really just go for myself to connect with fans and have a great, great time.
I know the one event I remember seeing you at that you invited me to come to was a fundraiser event for, it was at a wild animal rescue. I'm remembering, you may remember it. I mean, you said, you got to come to this. Tom Kenny's going to be there. You can meet Tom.
Yeah.
And that's how we got, by the way, that's how we ended up getting Tom through.
Well, I love doing charitable work on Twitter. For me, it's like the number one place to do that. I've raised $500,000 for kids with cancer, a couple $100,000 for animal rescue. I did raise a lot of money last year for Democratic candidates and causes. And I also like to give back that way. I'll say, you know, donate $5 for a follow back or $25 for an autograph or $50 for a voicemail screenshot below. And I'll give like a link to whichever charity I'm working with. And just today, actually, I heard from a dad with a little girl who I met at a con who was with, she was 3 years old with cancer. Mm-hmm. And my fans all raised money for her. And today she's a year cancer free. So it's like nice to do that. Yeah. And the Wildlife Learning Center is one of my causes that I've been donating to for a while. And it's a rescue zoo in California that only takes animals that have been purchased by ding dongs that shouldn't be buying exotic animals being or injured animals. Yeah. And so it's a beautiful, beautiful rescue zoo. And I love doing stuff for them. And they give back to me. They'll often like bring baby animals to my house to like a little treat. I'm really crazy about animals. So that's really nice.
Jacob. You got the mic. Let me turn it on.
Right, probably a more obscure role, but was that you in the Super Mario cartoon as the Koop as like two of the Koopalings?
Yeah, that was one of my first early jobs being the Super Mario Brothers. That was fun. You have a good ear.
Yeah, are you still able to do those voices?
Yeah, I remember like they were kind of down here, right? Yeah, something like that.
This is a volcano.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, I remember they were two really cute little boy characters.
Nowadays, I feel like you could easily play Princess Peach.
Probably.
Yeah.
There's a one from someone in the chat room. It says, "Can do 777. Do you have a special keep the voice supple and healthy kit? Do you use any product or anything like that?
Well, I've never smoked, and I try to avoid smokers. So toxic. And if I'm not feeling well, I'll rest my voice. I do try to warm up in my car all the time. I still take singing lessons, so I'll warm up with my vocal coach's recordings on my phone now. And I like to bring a bunch of different drinks into the studio. I'll always have a water, but sometimes I'll have like a, I like sparkling drinks too. I'll have like a ZVX. I don't like aspartame or a hot drink. And if you're not feeling well, tea with honey and lemon. And if you're really not feeling well, don't go to work because the booth is a small space and it's really crazy when someone comes in coughing and sneezing and then everybody's wiped out for the week.
Yeah. Then you take everybody else out.
Yeah. And you know, whatever candy, everyone's so different too. Like whatever you like or feels good to your voice. Obviously I'm a vegan, so I never have dairy. But yeah, you just got to, it's your instrument. So you have to keep it in good health.
Have you ever had any damage?
I've been lucky.
You've kept it healthy.
Yeah.
That's really fantastic. Yeah. What else does,
I do have a question.
Oh, okay. I'll get
Howie Hoffman has a question.
Oh, go for it. Go for it, sir. We're ready. Mic is hot.
Yes. I'd like to know, since you have been accomplished and amazing amount of iconic roles, what is there left? What are you really, what is it something that you've not done that you really, by the time you're my age, that you want to do?
I performed in Toronto's theater, so I'd love to go to a Broadway show. That'd be really fun. And just keep working. You know, I worked with Stan quite a bit before he passed away, and we did Spider-Man together. He was so cute. He liked me a lot. He was always appropriate, but like adorable. Like he used to call me eye candy at cons and he's like, come sit with me. He was very sweet. And when we were doing Spider-Man, he'd be at the mic beside me. And he kept looking at me and like, Stan, you can't look at Tara. You have to stay on mic. So they ended up putting him like across the studio from me. So he'd stay on mic while looking at me. But I said like, what's your secret? You know, he's in his 90s and he's doing great. And he said, never retire. Do what you love and just keep working. Mm-hmm. And I love that so much. So I just love to keep working and things that challenge me and things that excite me. I get excited for all kinds of things still. So more on camera, more voiceover stuff and theater. Yeah.
You have thought of a one woman show?
A lot of people ask me that. You know, it's funny. I always preferred improv to stand up because I personally like to share the stage. I don't really like to be by myself on stage. So maybe I would do like a, not a one woman, but maybe like a 3 or 4 people show. But I don't know. Maybe one day I will.
Do you ever log? Do you ever write down anecdotes that happen in your profession?
I should really start keeping a journal and putting down all the great stories.
Nickelodeon stories for you.
Yeah, I bet. I bet.
I know you do too.
Yeah.
Have you ever thought about directing or producing? Have you ever had the chance to do that? Or is that like...
I directed a little bit at Disney. I was casting for them a little bit and it was fun. I do prefer to act. First of all, when you're acting, you know, if you've got a couple lines, you can be in and out. If you're directing, you're there the entire time. So it is more time consuming.
Yeah.
But producing and writing, I do love to do. And I've written a few scripts that have been in development, a few things that have been on the air. And I definitely want to do more of that. That's fun.
All right. We got any other questions from our vast audience out there?
No, I think we can. I think we can let Tara go home to her family, which would be a really nice
dogs,
idea.
And her bunnies.
Yeah.
17 and 14. Two boys. They're pretty proud of me. They like finding stuff that I'm not, you know, typically on. Like, they like Rick and Morty or Family Guy or, you know, some of the games I do. They're like, Mommy, I just killed everyone as you. I was Harley and Justice or whatever.
I just singled all of your characters out.
Yeah, they know how to find me. They know how to find me.
Are any of your kids following in any way your footsteps, or
they're super duper talented? My older son is an extraordinary musician. He's not as showy as I am. Like, he doesn't really have the desire to be famous. And my younger one did do some acting when he was little, but he didn't like missing school. So I'm not pushing it, because I feel like the kids that get messed up out here are the ones that get pushed.
They could, but
I'm definitely going to let them find their own path.
Yeah.
Did you ever work with my friend Fred Newman?
I don't know.
He's the sound effects person that was on Prairie Home Companion and now NPR. But
maybe. I'm terrible with names.
Was that you as the giant armed Frankenstein lady in Hotel Transylvania 3?
Possibly. I did a bunch of extra voices on the Transylvania movie, so that's quite possible.
Yeah. There's a question there from Get Fred's Voice. He's asking about coaches right in the bottom there.
Do you still get coaches? Yeah. Are you still getting coaching? How many coaches have you worked with, if you have or are?
So I'm currently working with a vocal coach, a singing teacher. She's amazing. But I don't do any acting classes or other kinds of classes right now. I'm just really busy. Not that I'm opposed to it.
Time,
but I think it's good to keep training. I think to assume that you're done learning is ignorant. And I think we all have a lot to learn. So.
And conversely, have you done any coaching? And are you going to do that, do you think, at some point?
I like to coach friends and friends to kids, but I don't like to do it for money. I don't know. I have a weird thing with money. I'd rather pass it off to people that are coaching for money. And I have a lot of great friends that ask all the time, so I just pass them off to them.
Very cool.
All righty. Tara, thank you so much for being
here. Thanks
for
having me.
All righty. Well, George and I will be right back to say goodbye, and thanks for joining us tonight.
Are you confused about how to set up and maintain a professional quality voiceover studio? No wonder. The information out there is mostly mythology. This is the best microphone to use. You have to have a preamp. You need a soundproof booth. This software is the best. Your audio must be broadcast quality. Consult with someone who knows the truth. Someone who's been there, in the trenches, doing voiceover for over 30 years. Someone with unparalleled experience with voiceover studios, who's worked with hundreds of voice actors and designed hundreds of personal studios. He knows how to teach and cares about your success. In one of the harshest environments known to voiceover, your home. Dan Leonard, the Home Studio Master. Separate myth from fact and get a handle on your personal voiceover studio. Contact the Home Studio Master at homevoiceoverstudio.com.
All right, why don't we just...
Yeah.
Okay. Well, so, that's all for tonight.
Dan, I'm going to see you tomorrow for a special.
Yeah, I've got stuff to do. So thanks for joining us for the live broadcast tonight. And we're going to be doing all sorts of cool stuff now with, you know, you're going to get to watch this interview all week long. And then next week, you'll get to watch the tech stuff we did tonight. So
thanks for being here live, guys.
We appreciate it.
Appreciate it.
All right, have a good week. We'll see you next the 21st with Larry Davis. All righty. Take care, guys.
Good night. Screen and be on mic at the same time.
That's put it on here.
Can we put it down?
Oh, yeah. Of course. Read Dan's screen. I just need to have the emails up. I need to put the names of the donors in. So for tonight, I'm just going to be off. I'm just going to talk off camera. Big deal.
No, okay.
Talk off mic a little bit. You can still hear me.
Or put them over here so you're talking closer this way as opposed to that way.
Yeah, that'll help. Okay, I can get rid of Zoom. Okay. Ready to rock.
Okay. All right. Are we ready?
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, we're rolling. Okay. Oh, in that case. Wow. Now, that was a great show.
Yeah, great. I'm so glad we could get them in.
Great, great interviews, and we have a great time doing this. This new format's going to be interesting.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see how it goes.
Working out the kinks tonight.
Yeah.
Live on the air.
That's the way it goes. Next week on this show, we'll show you the tech segment.
Mm-hmm.
And then on January 21st, 2019 rolls by just like that. We will bring Larry Davis in here.
Who's fantastic.
A funny guy. He's just like John Bailey, just a great mimic and
amazing improviser.
And a great improviser and a fun guy. We're looking forward to that.
Yeah.
Who are our donors of the week?
Donors of the week. We've got a lot of those familiar names because they subscribe, like Tracy H. Reynolds. We've got, why are these all in the donors area? Sorry about that.
Okay.
Andrew Kaufman, Karen Cunningham,
Karen
O'Brien. We've got coming down the list here, Don Griffiths. Thank you, Don. He's a subscriber. Martha Kahn. Shana Pennington Baird, which we now know the same name, how to say her name since she's been on the show. Good old Uncle Roy from Antland Productions. Joseph Valtanetti. Thank you, Joseph. Dana Bertzel. Stephanie Sutherland. And to round it out, Patty Gibbons. Brian Page. We're pretty much reading everybody's that's donated in the last month because, well, we haven't been on in almost a month. Amanda Fellows. And
George Whittam Sr.
My dad, George Whittam Sr., who every time I see him says, I can't figure out how to cancel my donations.
Darn. Well.
Anyway, thanks, everybody. We really appreciate your supporting us along the way. It's been great.
Absolutely. Hey, you know, we've got the VOBS living room here, but if you'd like to show us your booth, show us your booths.
Yeah, we want your booth back here.
Absolutely. And send it to us in landscape, not portrait.
Right, landscape.
Show us what your studio's like. What you put into it, and we'll be in front of it, which would be really cool.
Mm-hmm.
Send them to the guys at VOBS.tv,
mm-hmm.
and we'll be happy to get it on here. If you need help with your home studio, you can talk to George at
georgethetech.com. That's where you can find me. And Dan is available over at
homevoiceoverstudio.com. Get over there. We can help you. We know what's going on. We're now on at 5 p.m. Pacific time, 8 Eastern, and whatever time it is in Newfoundland. doing it an hour early so you guys on the East Coast can have a little bit more time with your families,
right?
That sort of thing. And but if you'd like to be in the studio here at 5 o'clock on an alternate Monday, we're going to be on every other Monday now.
Mm-hmm.
Let us know if you're going to be in town or if you're here in L.A. and write to us again at theguys@vobs.tv and put in the subject line, audience.
Mm-hmm.
And that will allow us to know that you're going to be here.
As you saw, we have quite a bit more room now for folks to be in here. It's
absolutely
very comfortable. So come on in.
Absolutely. Well, we'd like to thank our sponsors, of course, like Harlan Hogan's VoiceOver Essentials,
VoiceOver Extra,
Source Elements,
VO2GoGo,
VoiceActorWebsites.com,
and J. Michael Collins Demos, all still sponsoring the show in 2019. Thank
absolutely.
You, everybody.
They know where the good stuff is. Absolutely. As do you guys. Of course, we'd like to thank the Dan and Marcy Leonard Foundation for the betterment of live webcasting. Our producer, Catherine Curtin, for getting us Tara Strong and all these great guests we've got lined up. Jack Daniel on chat room duty and on YouTube. And our amazing technical director who did an amazing job tonight. Burnout worthy. Sumerlino. And, of course, Lee Penny for being Lee Penny. Well, guys, you know, it's all about how good you sound. And that's mostly because you sound the way you are. And that's the most important thing. But if it sounds right.
It is good.
That's right. And it sounds right.
And you're right.
I'm right. That's right. Anyway, that's going to do it for us tonight on VoiceOver Body Shop. We'll see you on the 21st with Larry Davis. And I'm Dan Leonard.
And I'm George Whittam.
And this is VoiceOver
Body Shop.
Or V-O-B-S. Take care, guys.
Good night, everybody. Thanks.
I like having the logo in the back.
That was cool. Nice touch.
Yeah.